This morning we have the privilege of following the Lord's ordinance in baptism. And we have four people that will be baptized this morning that want to give a public declaration of their faith and trust in Christ and really just declare their loyalty to Him. And each one will give a testimony of their work, of God's work in their life. And it's a very special occasion anyway, but especially this is the first time as a church we've been able to have the baptism really integrated as part of our service and not go out somewhere to have the baptisms. So it's just a very special occasion. But it's just use these opportunities just to glorify God for His work in these lives. And we're going to start this morning with Tracy Latkovich.
Nervous.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
I just want to begin by saying I'm grateful to be standing here before all of you to declare Jesus as my Savior and just give all praise and honor and glory to Him, our sovereign God. I'm going to start already. I was blessed to have very loving parents. I had a very happy childhood. My mom accepted Christ after being invited to a church in Cleveland. She heard the gospel message preached. My dad was saved shortly after by also hearing a gospel message by a guest speaker and through my mom's witness. They sought a church where they could be taught and grow, and they were led to a small Baptist church. And the pastor there was a sound biblical expository preacher. He taught the word. And I can't recall exactly when. I know I was a young teenager when I thought I had accepted Christ as my Savior. I can remember going to all the church services, taking study notes, attending youth activities, including Christian summer camp, which I hated. However, I never had a spirit of repentance. When my entire family were baptized by immersion, I refused and did not take part. That was an act of disobedience and another sign of my false repentance. Sorry. Yeah.
I need to apologize here.
In my late teens and early 20s, I had no real interest in the things of the Lord. None of my close friends were saved. I became more and more influenced by them and the world and all of its temptations. I stopped attending church. I had no desire to read, let alone study the Bible. I had no obedience to the Lord. I lived the opposite of Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your attention on things above, not on things on earth. Also in 1 John 2, 15 and 16, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Simply put, I loved the world. You cannot serve two masters. I'm ashamed that the majority of my life was lived sinfully. I led a very worldly, ungodly life. There were times that I felt God was calling me. I would feel convicted over my sin, but I continued to foolishly and arrogantly disobey. I thought, I'm okay, I'm saved, the Lord will forgive me, I'll just confess. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. About 10 years ago, the Lord, in His merciful grace, brought many changes into my life that brought me ultimately to Him. Death of my closest friend from a brain tumor, the death of my father, my husband Tom suffered a sudden cardiac arrest, and through God's grace, and God's grace alone, was miraculously resuscitated and has recovered fully. I was then diagnosed with colon cancer and several other health issues. And we sometimes ask the Lord to change the situations we're in, but I know that God, through His infinite wisdom, put me into those situations to bring about a change in me according to His perfect plan. And I'm grateful for everything that happened as it caused me to realize how unregenerate I was and how much I needed the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. The Lord showed me that I was never truly redeemed. I had head knowledge, but not the heart. I thank him for his infinite patience and mercy to me. The Lord loved me in spite of me." Thank you, Jesus. All glory to God. I completely surrendered to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his pastor is teaching us in Ephesians, not through anything I did or could do, only through his calling and allowing me to see the truth. Only through his giving me the faith to fully accept him as holy God and my Savior. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast. I mourn over my years of sin and disobedience to the Lord. Through the Lord and his grace, my life has been changed. I have a new life in him. I love the Lord. Thanks to God and God alone. Through him, I have the desire and I love to study his word. I want to share the gospel. I want to obey and serve the Lord. And now today, I'm finally so happy to be baptized in obedience to him." Galatians 6:14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the Lord has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In Philippians 2:10-11, "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And then, just in closing, from one of my favorite hymns, "To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but Christ in me."
Amen. Amen.
Oh, it's nice and warm.
Yes. Okay. All right, just have you sit down. Tracy, it's a delight to hear the Lord's work in your life, and we are just rejoicing with you that the Lord has saved you and redeemed you, and on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Now, Corey Morgan comes to give her testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just want to say it's been quite a year getting to know all of you and having a new family of believers who love the Lord, and I'm just really, really thrilled to have this opportunity. So most people go to college and lose their faith. I'm the opposite. I found Christ on my university campus. But before that, my life was very, very different. I was a self-proclaimed atheist. I had a crippling desire to please the people around me. I was obsessed with receiving praise from people. My artistic and academic achievements were my life, and I was driving myself into an unhealthy pit of exhaustion. My identity completely came from these things. When I succeeded, I felt euphoric. When I failed, I crashed into crippling depression. But everything changed during my third year of college, or at least it started to change. I made friends with some students in the Christian organizations that were on my campus, A lot of them were English majors like me, which meant that there was already a friendship basis and there was already some trust. And they shared the gospel with me, in spite of the fact that I was an atheist and that they disagreed with me. They showed me love, and that was not something that I knew at that point that Christians could do. Their compassion, kindness, and obvious devotion to Jesus started to attract me, and I started to wonder what it was that was different about these people. However, I still had serious misgivings and serious doubts about giving into a religion that I had been so critical of and so skeptical of for so long. And then in the fall of my senior year, the Lord did something drastic to make himself known in my life. I got really sick. I developed an autoimmune disease called dermatographia, and basically what happens is your body starts attacking itself. Everything that you come into contact with is perceived as a threat. I broke out in hives everywhere. I was exhausted. I was sick most of the time. On two occasions, I ended up in the ER. It was extremely scary, but the worst part was that I saw 7 or 8 doctors during this time, and none of them could do anything for me. In fact, the things that they gave me to do actually made the situation worse. I was really depressed and really frustrated. Like I said, it was my senior year of college. There were a lot of demands and a lot of things on my plate, and I was beginning to get scared. Like, what if I didn't make it through the year, and what would those things matter in that case if I didn't? And I was extremely frustrated. I wanted answers about why I was so miserable, and my Christian friends had told me that the Bible had the answers. So finally, I was just driven to the brink of frustration and started reading the Gospels for the first time to see if all of it really was true. And one night, I came across a passage that not only explained my situation, but showed that it ran deeper than I could possibly imagine. That passage, Luke 8:42 to 48, reads as follows. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well." I deeply identified with this woman. She was just like me. She was sick. She was despairing, hopeless, frustrated. She, too, had seen multiple doctors who couldn't help her. But more importantly, her life revealed the true condition that I had before God. It was true that I was physically sick, but there was a much more serious matter at work. I was physically sick, and the prognosis was grim. Romans 3:23 states that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's perfection and holiness. And because God is a just and good God, he has to punish sin. And the punishment for that sin is death. However, there was also good news. Out of his great love for us, God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to bear my punishment through his death on the cross. Furthermore, after 3 days, he rose from the dead, demonstrating Jesus' power over life and death, and also showing that God accepted his sacrifice. If I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I would be welcomed into God's presence to walk with him and then to also spend eternity with him. But if I rejected him, I would remain condemned in my sin, sentenced to spend eternity separated from him in hell. Spiritually, I was terminally ill, and there was only one remedy. I, too, had to reach out and grasp the hem of his garment, which I did. Convicted by God's word, I declared that I had faith in him, repented of my sins, and chose to follow him. There's a lot that I could share about what Christ has done for me in my life. He's ordained and established my marriage. He's provided for my education. He has given me opportunities with a right mindset to use my vocation and my creativity and all those things that mattered so much to me, not for my glory, but for his. And I think the most significant thing is that he has allowed my faith to persevere through some incredibly trying times for my faith. And that is how I know that it's real, because I have been through some hard things and I'm still standing here to proclaim his glory to you. So I want to be baptized for a couple of reasons. The first is Jesus commands it. He said to the disciples to go and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is non-negotiable. If he commanded it, it's something that we must do. The second reason, though, is that I want to publicly stand before you, my church family, and share my story and have you bear witness to my obedience to Christ. I was actually baptized several years ago by a friend who was discipling me, but there was something very vital missing, and it's that for a lot of reasons, I was not a part of a church congregation, and this is not just for me. It's for all of you to be encouraged by what he's done in my life, so I'm really, really excited to be able to share it with you. Medina Bible Church has become mine and Curtis's family in the last year, and it's wonderful to be able to share this with all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you.
It's been a joy to hear the Lord's work in your life, and you want to just...
sit down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There we go. And we just are really thankful for the Lord's work in your life, and we just praise God with you. So, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Now we have the privilege of hearing from Rhonda Kiefer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're not as nervous as I am.
I can guarantee that.
I'm really glad to be here, and I'll just start going. I was very blessed that my parents took me to church when I was a preschooler, so I was exposed to the gospel from a very young age. And when I was a little girl, probably 5, but I wasn't even in kindergarten yet, I had a very strange experience when we lived in Texas that still leaves me wondering to this day. My dad was on a baseball team, and we drove to the baseball field, and he parked the car, and we got out. And we looked up at the sky, and we were wondering if the game would be postponed because it looked like with the dark, heavy clouds, it looked like it was going to rain any minute. And suddenly a ray of light broke through the clouds, and I thought of God's word, which I must have heard in Sunday school, and those words were, "I am the light, follow me, follow the light." And I knew that Jesus was the light, and those words have stayed with me my whole life. I am the light, follow me, follow the light. We moved back to Akron, Ohio, and I continued going to Sunday school and church and vacation Bible school in the summer. And when we entered the 6th grade Sunday school class, it was kind of tradition and expectation that we kids would go up together in front of the church and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I didn't want to be left out, so I went forward. And we were given Bibles by our minister, and then we were baptized shortly thereafter. And at that time, I thought that I had been, that was the moment of my salvation. In high school, I attended a weekly Bible study. I became active in Campus Crusade for Christ, and I attended the Billy Graham Crusade at the old Municipal Stadium, and I heard the gospel many times. Looking back, I think I participated in these activities more out of peer pressure and duty rather than a true desire, a true heart desire to know God. When I turned 19, I accidentally fell into a 17-year career in radio broadcasting that started with 6 months at country station WHK before the station manager moved me over to sister station WMMS, which he thought was a better fit for me, and I worked there for 10 years. And while I was working at WMMS, I stopped going to church except on holidays with my family, and I definitely did not live a Christian lifestyle. All my friends thought my life was so glamorous, meeting rock stars and going to parties backstage after concerts. But as exciting as it was at the time, I was a very lost sheep. I felt empty, and none of it brought me true peace and joy. After I left the music business, my life began to settle down. I returned to school to earn a teaching certificate and then my library degree. More importantly, though, I realized I had been living a life of sin and that I needed Jesus in my life. And the idea that Jesus suffered so greatly for me, that he died for me, really broke my heart because I thought of all the suffering that he went through. And I thought, he shouldn't have had to do that for me, and he did. And for the first time in my life, I truly understood my need for a Savior. I began attending church regularly and eagerly began reading and studying God's word once again. And it was in returning to Jesus and placing my faith in him, the Good Shepherd, that I, a very lost sheep, finally found true peace and joy. Last November, I visited my brother and his wife and shared my dissatisfaction and desire to find a new church. They had attended Medina Bible Church while they were in town visiting, and they highly recommended Medina Bible Church. So I attended this church for the first time on November 19th, 2023. I really liked the depth of Pastor Mark's message, and you, the church family, who was you were so friendly and welcoming, and I immediately felt at home here, and I have been attending ever since. Recently, you all have been praying for me and my family, and we are so grateful to you for your faithful prayers. Throughout my life, the Lord has been so good to me. Through his word, he has helped me handle the time, my life during times of trouble, and has saved me from disasters, big and small. He has always provided for me with everything I have ever needed, and he has even given me things that he knew I desired, but that I had never even asked for. Above everything else, though, Jesus provided forgiveness of my sins and gave me eternal life in him. After talking with Pastor Mark, I decided I wanted to get baptized again, but this time as a true believer, understanding and fully believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I love him with all my heart, and I could not get through this life without him. In closing, I'd like to share one of my favorite Bible verses, and that is John 8:12, and it reads, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.'" My dear friends here at Medina Bible Church, Jesus is the light of the world. Follow his light and let it shine from within you for all to see. And I promise you, you will find true and lasting peace and joy. Thank you.
Amen. Be sure to get your towel. There you go.
Okay.
We got you. You're welcome.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah. It's not cold. Rhonda, it has been a real joy just to hear testimony, both today and the times we've talked, of how the Lord has worked in your life, and we rejoice with you.
Thank you.
And we just are so delighted that he's brought you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have the privilege of hearing from Isabella Bender.
I grew up in a Christian household and attended church every Sunday at a very young age. I was taught what was right and wrong. Since I was young, I always enjoyed going to church, learning about God, and doing my devotionals. I thought that knowing what Jesus did for me, going to church, and saying I was a Christian was all that I needed. The older I got, I realized there was more to it. The acts alone was not enough to be saved. Titus 3, verse 5, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I have been in waves with my faith. Sometimes I felt I was close to God, but other times I questioned my faith. The reoccurring question I would ask myself was, am I good enough? I would get upset not understanding my Bible or certain discussions, but the more I prayed about it and the more my family talked about God and salvation, it gave me a clearer understanding. Around last year, I called out to God and asked Him to come and change my heart. I believe in what Jesus has done for me and that He saved me from my sin, which I cannot save myself from. I have allowed the Word to take control of my life, to guide and walk with me in my faith. I knew that the only way my heart and mind would be changed was to ask the Lord to save me, and allowing God to move and change my heart. I have a desire to do good for others. The weight and worry I carried in my heart has been lifted. Even though I still stress out and get nervous, I pray to God to help loosen my nerves and walk with me with what I am going through. Now that I have come to an understanding and saving faith, I believe that I am a sinner and will always make mistakes. I know that Jesus is my Savior and has been given to the world to save us from our sins. I want to be baptized because it is the act of obedience that we are all called to make. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Well, Isabella, it's quite a joy to hear the Lord's work in your life. And you have a lot of life ahead of you, Lord willing, and you can live it for Christ. So, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you please pray with me as for these dear saints? Our Lord, we thank you that you are a God who redeems, no matter what our history is, no matter what we have done. You reach out and you save. And Lord God, I just thank you for your work in Tracy's life and Corey and Rhonda and Isabella. And we just pray for these ladies that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Lord, you would cause them to abound in the works which you have prepared beforehand that they would walk in them. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.